Welcome back to the Killer Frogs Killer Minute, a Fan Nation college football podcast. It's a weekly show coming your way, brought to you by KillerFrogs.com. I'm Brett Gibbons, and I'm once again joined by Barry Lewis. Barry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good to see you again, Brett.
Yeah, as always, I'm really excited to have you on for this because today we are talking win totals, specifically in the Big 12, and we'll focus on TCU quite a bit. You came really well prepared for this. There's a lot of information I'm really excited to hear from you. We were talking before we went live on here, and yeah, I'm just really excited to talk these things over. So it also kind of coincides an article that I recently put out at killerfrogs.com dissecting TCU's win total. So let's start there. Let's just dive right into it. Why have pretense here when we could just get into it? Let's talk TCU's win total. According to BetMGM Sportsbook, they are lined for 7.5 wins. And I know that a lot of reaction, because I've seen it in Facebook comments, is, oh, that's not enough. Well, they're not going to go 7-5. They're going to, well, okay. A win total real quick is just an average probability. And given the odds here, they have a 58.3% probability to go over 7.5 wins. That could be 8 wins. That could be 10 wins, right? So it's just kind of an average to kind of get a feel about where they might land. 7.5 wins. First of all, what is your kind of initial reaction to that number?
I think we go back to a conversation you and I had at the same time last year. Before we knew what was going to happen with that 2022 season, and you and I were both content that a 6-6 season was going to be okay. So obviously that got completely shattered. But is a 12-0 a season another realistic? I don't think so. I think it was a great ride last year. I think TCU is going to be much improved over a projected 6-6 that we saw a year ago, but I don't think it's going to be 12-0 in the regular season.
Yeah, I was even adamant on it. I said a 5-6 win is inbound for Sonny Dykes in his first year in TCU. I wrote that in an article in print black and white. Feel free to go back and laugh at me because I was totally wrong. But that 12-0 and that Big 12 championship and, you know, college football playoff run, it's still a probability for this year. You know, TCU is just operating in the upper 5% of what they're able to do. And, you know, 5% isn't zero. So I'm not going to sit here today and tell everyone listening that it is impossible for TCU to win 10 games, 12 games. That would just be operating in their upper 5%. Now, if you're a betting man, I am. I would like to keep my money in the 95%, to be honest. I'd like to keep it in the most probable outcome here. So let's go ahead and kind of look at this. What is your prediction for the over-under? Are you taking over their win totals? Are you taking under their win totals? And share with everyone how you're coming to this conclusion.
I am going over the 7.5 for TCU. I have TCU finishing the season at 10-2.
Real 10-2. Who are those two losses? Just to make people mad, because saying that 10-2 is going to make everyone really excited. Now, who are the two losses to so people can get angry?
One of them will be, let's see, the first loss will come on October 21st at Kansas State. The last loss will come on Black Friday at Oklahoma.
Oh, so not even Texas. I like that. Because the Texas game is at home, and TCU's
Texas game's at home. It's the last time Texas comes to Amon Carter. That emotion's going to be high. I think if last year's team could go into Austin and do what they did, this year's team's going to be able to do it at home with a lot of backing, with a lot of fun atmosphere in the crowd.
Yeah, that's one of those things.
Close.
And that's one of those factors that goes beyond numbers. And my actual full-time day job is ruining football with numbers. That's what I do. I operate on spreadsheets. But I also coach football and watch the thing, so I understand that you have to take outside factors. And I do like that, yeah, it's the hype of the last time that Texas is ever going to play. Well, you know, I won't say ever, but as a conference opponent, it's the last time that they're going to play in Fort Worth. And that is going to be championed by TCU. That's going to be championed by the football team. Sonny Dykes is going to be like, hey, guys, look who's coming to town for the last time for a while. Let's send them out their tail between their legs. I like that. My number, and I got yelled at for this in comments, like like most of my pieces, that I give TCU just under a 36% chance to beat Texas. That's just what the raw numbers say. We're in July. A lot has to happen before this game way down the line, right? So, yeah, I mean, correct, those numbers could change. I currently have that as their lowest win probability. Oklahoma, I also have as second lowest, just under 37%. And you said Kansas State. At Kansas State, I have about a 50-50. I have TCU just over about 51% to win that game. So I can see it. You know, Kansas State kind of brings a lot back. They lose a lot on defense, which I think is going to hurt them this year because their defense was exceptional last year. But bringing Will Howard back is just terrific. I think he's a really good player. So let's see. The highest percentage that I have, and I want to hear your confidence on this. Obviously, you picked them to win, but week one against Colorado. If you had to arbitrarily give me a percentage that they win this game, where would you fall?
That's a good question.
how about this? On a A to F scale, you know, on the grading system, how confident are you that TCU beats Colorado?
A.
I agree. I have 95% that to be.
Okay. It would be high. It was high last year when we played there, and then we still had a challenging first half, but then we came out with a decent second half, and that decent second half is what set us on the path for where we went for the rest of the season. So I think we've learned from that. I think it's a new team in Colorado. Obviously, Deion's done a lot up there, but it's still, he's going to bring that team into Fort Worth, and it's another thing. It's going to be a hot, melting day. It's an 11 o'clock kick on September 2nd. Those people from Colorado in the altitude, they're not going to be able to handle it. So,
no, I agree. I don't know who decided it was a good idea to have an 11 a.m. kick. Well, the TV market did that too. But, you know, I went to, in 2019, Texas A&M hosted Auburn. And I went to that game. And I didn't realize there was a 2:30 p.m. kickoff in September, in late September. And it was 101 degrees at kickoff. And we were sitting in the unshaded stands of Kyle Field. So I know what that was like. I wasn't running around playing a football game and I was melting. I agree. I don't know how these kids from Colorado are going to be. Well, you know what? Most of them are from Jackson, Mississippi, actually. So they may be a little bit better weathered to play this game than not. But I want to talk about the highest win percentage that I have against a Big 12 opponent. I've pinned that down myself as BYU. Do you agree, or do you see another conference opponent that you're actually more confident in that TCU will beat?
I don't have a good feeling yet about any of these four new Big 12 teams. So, you know, I've seen them over the last couple of years, but haven't paid that much attention to them. At the end of the day, all four of those new Big 12 teams, I didn't have them having a great of a season, but of those four, BYU I have as having the best of them. So I don't know that I would say that's the biggest probability of a win amongst Big 12. I would almost maybe lean that towards a West Virginia. Maybe.
Yeah, I think I land on them second behind BYU, West Virginia. Yeah, I think they're going to have a tough year. We talked about in a previous episode, I think Neil Brown, their head coach, may be the first one shown the door this entire football season, to be honest.
Well, he was, you know, everybody thought he was going to be gone by the end of September last year, and he somehow hung on. So,
yeah, including everyone that lives in Morgantown, West Virginia, because I went to a game against Baylor there on a Thursday night, and the only thing people could talk about is how they wanted Neil Brown gone and how they thought that, you know, he wouldn't make it in the offseason, and, you know, here he is, especially with the athletic director change. I thought that was interesting that, you know, an AD change, take the football coach out with you. He's the old guy, and he, to be honest, isn't doing all that well. But yeah, we'll see. Now let's go to the other end of the spectrum. I already said that the lowest win probability that I have on here for both the Big 12 and all FBS opponents, I should have clarified before, my highest win percentage against Colorado, that's for FBS. I don't project against Nichols. I kind of write that up as, you know, they should win and they should win by 40. But my lowest,
if not more,
right?
By 90.
Yeah, right, exactly. And my lowest expectation here is for Texas. You know, people are going to yell at me. People have been yelling at me. I think Texas is going to be very good this year. So you said your lowest, if you had the, you know, between Kansas State and Oklahoma, which one are you less confident in TCU being able to beat this season?
I am holding true to a comment I made to you on the first episode of this podcast. You asked for a shocking prediction. I gave you a shocking prediction. So therefore, I'm holding true until a game has been played to change my mind. Kansas State going all the way to the national championship game. So that would be the game I would be most worried about.
And of the wins that you have tallied for TCU in front of you, which one are you least confident about? Which one could you see going sideways the most?
I will give you two. Texas is definitely one of them. I only gave TCU the win on that one because of the atmosphere and the last time Texas was playing there. The other one I'm concerned about would be against Texas Tech.
Yes.
That's a Thursday night game. Weird things happen in Lubbock, especially in night games. At it, making it Thursday night, it's off schedule. Who knows what could happen? But TCU has had a good streak going in Lubbock, so I think TCU holds on and pulls off a close one that Thursday night, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way.
Well, you're right in step with what my numbers say. My numbers have 52.6% chance to win in Lubbock. They kind of like Texas Tech this year. They project them as a top 25 team here in the preseason. I agree with you. I don't want to play a Thursday night game in Lubbock. I don't. Right. That's weird. Right. That's a weird thing.
Right.
And I still have it burned in my mind, a game that I'm sure you were at as well. This was before we had met, but 2018, when TCU welcomed Texas Tech on a Thursday night and lost 17-14. And it was just a weird game. And it wasn't that neither right. team's offense was operating all that well that year. They were operating up to standard, and just no one did anything. I think that's a trap game. Anytime you can play a night game in Lubbock, especially in the weekday, I don't think there's a team in the country that's not susceptible to losing out there. And I don't say that lightly. That one has me freaked out.
Both teams will have a bye week the Saturday before. So it's not going to have any difference there as to who had more rest or not on a short week. So there's no short week to worry about. So yeah, it could go the other way. However, you know, I did run some of my numbers yesterday by some of my other network, and I went to my Texas Tech fan, who's the one who votes in our weekly power rankings representing Texas Tech. And her comment was, there's no way that we don't win in Lubbock. We TCU doesn't win in Lubbock. So spoken from a Tech person.
I guess I give them props for realism. I didn't want to call it pessimism, but realistic expectations, I suppose. But those are always the dangerous games. They just are.
I will also tell you, not talking TCU, but when I went through this game by game, the game that I had the biggest back and forth in my mind is Texas Tech at Texas on November, on the last week of the season.
Well, that's why Texas wants out of the Big 12, so that they don't have to play Texas Tech on Black Friday anymore, because they keep getting their behinds kicked.
Right.
That's right. The thing they're joking about. Them and TCU, the bane of Texas's existence here in the Big 12.
I gave Texas the win in that game, but that would be another one that I could say it could go either way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we'll get to that here shortly. I wanted to ask a couple more things about TCU. First of all, I project them for 5.7 wins in conference. That's good enough for third. So that is, in my numbers, edging out Kansas State, but just barely, because Kansas State, I think, plays a little bit more difficult of a schedule. And of course, that's behind Oklahoma and Texas, which people will yell at me for, but whatever. Overall in the season, though, 8.5 wins I have for TCU. So that's over by a pretty comfortable number. And I guess my final question for you regarding TCU specifically, do you think that the 7.5 is a fair line? You said they're going over. You said that you project them for 10 wins. So initially, maybe people might be like, well, then they made it way too low. But do you think that that is a fair expectation for TCU this year? 8-4, 7-5 among that?
I think it is. I think if you go an 8-4, a 9-3 season, that is not a bad season. It's bad compared to having just been in the national championship game. Perhaps you could say that. But it's better than the 5s and 7s that we had for the last few years before last year. So,
right. And they lose so much. I mean, they return among the least roster production in the entire country. And they added some guys, some nice guys in the transfer portal. You can go back and listen to our episode with Torrey Couch on the transfer portal and what our thoughts were on that. But yeah, I mean, they're turning over a lot. And I think championship expectations are a bit unrealistic. And you might be disappointed if you're shooting for another 13-win season. Just my two cents. So let's move on over to the Big 12 as a whole. From what I understand, you have picked them game by game, by game, by game for all the teams. And I'm really excited to kind of get into where you have. So I think the best way to start this off, let's just rapid fire these teams really quick. Just give me an over and under, and then we'll dive into what you think is more interesting. So I'll say the team, I'll say what their over-under win total is. You give me over or under. And if you'd like, give me the record that you project for them or how many wins you project for them. Sound good?
Okay.
All right. Baylor, 7.5.
Slightly over. Eight wins. Over.
8 wins. Interesting. BYU, 4.5. I think I know where you're falling on this, but 4.5 for BYU.
Over. I gave them 7.
Cincinnati, 5.5.
I went under on that. I gave them 5.
Houston, 4.5.
I went slightly over, giving them also 5 wins.
So these numbers are pretty sharp so far. They're pretty in line with what you're getting at. Iowa State, 5.5.
Not sure what to expect with Iowa State this year. So I gave them only 4 wins.
I'm with you on the not sure what to expect. Kansas, 5.5.
Kansas, again, starts strong, but again, stumbles, and they end with only 4 wins.
Only 4 wins. We'll talk,
coming in the first 6 games.
We will definitely talk about Kansas. Kansas State, 7.5. I think I know where you land on that one.
They're going over, quite over.
Yep.
They're going 12-0.
Yeah, can't make a championship run on 8 wins, or on 7 wins, I should say. Oklahoma, 9.5.
Slightly over, 10 wins.
Oklahoma State, 6.5.
Also, not sure what to expect from the Pokes this year. I gave them only 4 wins.
I'm with you on not sure what to expect from Oklahoma State as well. Texas, 9.5.
I gave them just slightly under at 9 wins.
Texas Tech, 7.5.
I went 7 wins with them.
So almost right on the money, considering there's a little bit higher probability for them to go under there. UCF, 6.5.
I gave them only 5 wins.
Interesting. We will talk about them as well. Final one, West Virginia, 5.5.
I went under on that and went 4.
Okay. So I think I know what your answer is to this. If you had to pick one of these teams that's most likely to go over their win total, and that might not necessarily mean that you make 12 wins for Kansas or Kansas State. That'd be a hell of a season for Kansas. 12 wins for Kansas State, but they're over under 7.5. You know, maybe you're projecting Kansas State at their upper echelon. Which one do you think you are most confident in to go over their win total?
Cincinnati.
That's interesting. I think it's a...
Could be West Virginia.
I think I lean West Virginia, personally. Okay. I think Cincinnati's an interesting conversation, though, because I wasn't really impressed with their hire. And I'm going to plug our third and final most recent episode before this, our coaching changes, that I talked to Nate Cross about all the coaching changes in the Big 12. But I wasn't really impressed with the hire. Scott Satterfield is kind of being shown the door in Louisville. And now Cincinnati would have had to hire Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or Jim Harbaugh to successfully fill the excitement that Luke Fickell had in Cincinnati. And of course, they did not do that. But I personally don't know what to expect from Cincinnati. One of the teams that we disagreed on when we were talking about was UCF. And I think it's an interesting team that I wanted to talk about. They have 6.5 over under for their win total. I find 7.3 wins. And when I say find, I don't mean, no, they could beat this team, this team, this team. It's just what my numbers say. I believe you said that you had them going under, right? That you only, how many wins did you have them for again?
5-7.
5-7 for UCF. I like this team. And I would even go as far to say, or I should say, I will go as far as to reveal that I actually put a long shot flyer on them to win the Big 12. Now,
I recall you saying that now. Okay.
Does that mean that I think that they are going to win the Big 12? Probably not. There are four very, very good football teams at the top of this, plus, you know, a few others in the mix. But I have them going the most over their win total of any team in the Big 12. I like John Rhys Plumlee. They lost a couple of coordinators, but I don't expect the offense to change. Just like in TCU, that offense is kind of directed by the head coach and Gus Malzahn. They bring back quite a bit on defense. I think they're a good team. They also had some interesting anomalies last year in that they blew leads like it was their freaking job against, you know, they had an 81% win expectancy in the second half and lost one of those games. They were a bit unfortunate in the turnover department. They drop, I guess I should be specific. Sorry, 81% win expectancy against Tulane, the team that won the Cotton Bowl. And then they lost in overtime because they blew that lead. You know, they had a lot of close losses. I expect that to regress to the mean. Or progress, I suppose, in this case. You know, just a few more bounces. UCF isn't winning. Well, I should say they still went 9-4 despite all that. So a couple of bounces go their way. They're looking at 10-11 win season and playing, you know, for the New Year's Six Bowl over Tulane, potentially. So I like UCF a great deal this year. You have them at 5-7, so I kind of see where they fall in the Big 12 hierarchy. But were there any games on their schedule that you struggled with, or, you know, what's just kind of your overall thoughts on the Knights coming into Big 12 this year?
They have an interesting schedule based on who's home and who's away and which Big 12 teams they're playing. In their non-conference, they do have to travel to Boise for the second week of the season. Boise, I know, is not the same Boise as they were for years, but I would still say playing in Boise itself on that blue turf is a hard place to play. So I gave them that as one loss there. They open Big 12 play in Manhattan. Well, if I'm holding true to my Kansas State, that's definitely going to be a loss there. I gave them a loss at home to Baylor. The next one, the 7th of October, that one was a little tricky for me, and I could go a different way there. That one is playing at Kansas, and I have that being the last win of the season for Kansas coming on October 7th.
Wow. Losing to Kansas?
UCF then travels. They have a bye. They then travel to Norman. I have them losing there. I have them beating West Virginia at home. I have them losing on the road to Cincinnati. That would be another one I would be questionable that could go the other way. I have them winning at home to Oklahoma State, then losing on the road to Texas Tech, and then winning at home to Houston.
I agree with you on Texas Tech. I agree with you on Kansas State. I have both of those sub 40%. Oklahoma, I only have about a 20% chance, 21% chance of winning. I don't see them losing to Kansas. I don't. We'll talk about Kansas in a minute. I don't see them losing to Kansas. Boise State, I have an interesting anomaly on here, though. I have 64% win on the road at Boise. That would be one of those where I'd probably adjust it a little bit to not just be a numerical thing and be like, well, yeah, they're also playing in Boise, tough place to play. I think the Broncos are going to be pretty good. They have a very exciting quarterback rising that I'm really looking forward to watching play, Talen Green, for those wondering. And I have a true 50-50 toss-up with Baylor. 50% on the money I have them there. So, yeah, I can see that. 7.3 wins is still 7-5 in season. It's not spectacular. They are bowl eligible in that case, but the way I see it is that I just think they're being a little bit undervalued and that the numbers don't quite match up to my projection of them. So that's why I put a little flyer on them. Again, do I think they're going to run the table and win the Big 12 this year? Probably not. That seems unlikely. But so did TCU's run last year. So we'll see. Athletic quarterback, that's a fun team. And just a note here, I don't have the data to back this up because win totals in history are kind of hard to find. Reliable numbers on, but Texas Tech at 7.5. That has to be one of their highest totals in quite a while. Am I wrong? I feel like they're never projected to go this high.
I think you're right about that. So
interesting. Okay. Do you think that any of these win totals are just flat out wrong? And I'm going to take away the Kansas State one for you because you have them ranked so high over that you could pull that out. But did you look at any of these and just like, even before looking at their schedule or anything, be like, no way? I mean, a lot of them seem close to what you have.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I have another answer to that. So,
okay. I do have an answer, and it's the team I want to talk about, Kansas Jayhawks. I thought they flat out missed. They actually opened at sportsbooks at 6.5 wins. 6.5 wins. It's a lot of wins for Kansas. I know that they did well last year, but they were incredibly
lucky. What did they do? They went 5-0 last year.
Six and seven. They started 5-0.
They started 5-0, and then they lost all those. Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. And they probably should have won the Liberty Bowl. I can't say for certain because they gave up 50 plus points, so I can't really say that in any game they should have won. This number was just off to me. It was so off that I actually bet it at opening. Pretty confident in that. It's been bet down to 5.5 now, so that's still a little bit more a little more reasonable. It's less in actually some spots, but I see 4 to 4.5 wins. That's kind of where I fall in this, in that they were incredibly lucky in the turnover department. They were incredibly lucky in one score games. They're incredibly lucky to survive games in which they gave up 35 plus and win. And yet they still only went 6-7. And I could just see a lot of those factors regressing this year, that you're not going to get as lucky in the turnover department. You're maybe not going to win as many games giving up 30 plus as you did last year. So, what do you think about Kansas in themselves? Where do you see them going? What does the schedule in front of you say in terms of their year?
And I went, I agreed with you on that. I gave them 4 wins. I see them going 4-8. And their last win will come on October 7th. Then they're in for a tough end of the season. I have them winning at home to start the season against Missouri State. Then I have them losing to Illinois and then hitting the road and winning on the road at Nevada and then winning at home against BYU, losing in Austin to Texas, which
hot
you
take
know, that it is,
kind of
you
is.
Know.
They've been beating them lately.
I know. I was tempted on that one, but I didn't. And then back home for UCF on the 7th, winning that, and then not winning another one after that.
I fully expect them to beat Nevada, but I don't want to just overlook that. There's a couple of strange games, and maybe we'll do a podcast episode on the Big 12 schedule and weird games, but there's some strange games for the Big 12 teams this year. Kansas going to Nevada is a very, very strange game, I think, and it should not be That feels like one of those games where if Kansas expects to win and plays like they expect to win and walk in there just kind of nonchalantly, especially with Big 12 play opening up the following week, they're going to go in there and lose. They're going to go in there and score 14 points, and Nevada may sneak up and beat them. I don't think Nevada's going to be very good, but it's just one of those games where, like, if you overlook it, you know, it could bite you. And I think a better example of that is Texas Tech hits the road and plays at Wyoming. And I believe they open the season with that. Let me verify that. But they play, yeah, they play at Wyoming to start the year. The highest altitude stadium in the country in college football. It's a very windy place. Laramie is a very strange place. And I know Lubbock is really similar in many regards. Obviously, it's 3,000 feet lower in elevation. But that's just one of those weird games. They have Oregon the next week. So, like, I know coaches will say that they don't do this. But if you tell me that Texas Tech late in summer camp isn't already looking ahead to Oregon, starting to do some Oregon prep, you're lying. They probably are. To go to Wyoming before that game, I don't know. I think that's one of those where I might see the number, which I believe I actually do have. It is Texas Tech's favored by 14 points. Interesting. I may take Wyoming on that side. Because it's just a weird game. I mean, Texas Tech might walk in there and blow them out.
I agree.
But
I find it interesting that Wyoming sees the Big 12 twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They play in Austin 2 weeks later.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, the week after Texas plays in Tuscaloosa. So
that's fair. That's a trappy spot. I know this isn't
between,
a show about
between Alabama and between Baylor. I mean, that could be an interesting game in Austin. I have Texas winning it, but yeah, it still could be an interesting game.
I know this isn't a show about the Mountain West schedule, but yeah, at Texas, they host Appalachian State. Yeah, there's some weird games in there. Wyoming hosts Appalachian State. They could be a team that just spoils everyone's season. Keep an eye on Wyoming. This is now turned into a pro Wyoming podcast, apparently. But what a way to end the talk on overs and unders here in the Big 12. Do you have any parting thoughts? Anything else you wanted to know? I know we talked about Iowa State, not really knowing what to expect from them. Big lefty Hunter Deckers. I truly don't know what to expect from
them. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, my wins for them, I have them winning against Northern Iowa, Ohio at home for Oklahoma State, and then Kansas.
And they are on the road at Ohio.
That's true.
It's very strange. It doesn't mean that they're not going to win the game. But I have 5.6 wins for Iowa State. Their win total is 5.5. Seems about right. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting team. I feel like, well, they can't get any worse than that 4-8, you know, 3-9 mark, but maybe they can. I don't know. Who am I to challenge them?
So,
right. Yeah.
I just realized I was going to say I had a scenario in my mind, but based upon this, I'd have to look at tiebreakers to see how that happened. I have three teams going 7-2 in Big 12 play.
TCU.
To be TCU, Texas, OU, and Texas. And I have Kansas State obviously going 9-0. So Kansas State is for sure going to Arlington. I have TCU, Oklahoma, and Texas all at 7-2 for one of those to play Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament. Big 12 championship. Sorry.
Well, now you got a Big 10 West situation that we had last year where you may need to go to point differential. If it's not a head to head and it's not a conference record, I do believe it goes to point differential after that. And I think that they did like three or four layers deep for the Big 10 West last year to crown Purdue its champion.
Yeah, because I have Texas losing to TCU but beating Oklahoma Oklahoma beating TCU but losing to Texas. Yes, it's all around Robin in there. So
this is so sickos. I love it. Everyone beats everyone. Who had the highest home attendance? Who had the highest GPA? That's how we're going to decide who goes to Arlington.
I think when I initially did this yesterday, I had Texas Tech winning the game over Texas, which would have put Texas at 6-3 and OU and TCU at 7-2 with OU winning the last game in Norman of the last game of the season to not have TCU go to Arlington for a rematch there. But then I went back and switched it to give Texas that win over Tech and didn't change my scenario into the Big 12 championship game.
Cowardly move, if you ask me.
I'm sorry?
It's a cowardly move, if you ask me. All right. Well, thank you everyone again for tuning into another episode of the Killer Frogs Killer Minute College Football Podcast. You can find us at killerfrogs.com. On Twitter, we are at Killer Frogs. I am at Road to CFB. You can find Barry at Barry R. Lewis. Listen to it's a little outdated by now, but listen to his spot. He went on Tulsa local radio to talk about the College World Series, even though it's over and done with. I think it's still an exquisite spot that he had on there. Did really, really well. So go ahead and find that. It's on his Twitter. It's on my Twitter. And continue the conversation about this over on Facebook. People are going to have opinions on over under win totals, especially when we talk about Texas, especially when we talk about your TCU Horned Frogs. You know, it matters. So go over there on Facebook, share your thoughts. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to us on the podcast app of choice, your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you use, Pandora, iHeartRadio. I don't know who else is hosting them these days. Maybe Amazon is, who knows? But subscribe to us on whichever one you're using. Drop us a review. That's going to be the best way that helps us grow and reach a wider audience, more college football fans, more TCU fans. If you leave 5-star review, 1-star review, it doesn't matter. Just drop a review on there. Be nice to us, though. We have feelings. But check back next week for the next episode that we drop here. It will be coming weekly now that we're out. Happy July, everyone. We're in the doldrums of college football. But as I see it, it is actually college football season. So join us on the Killer Frogs Killer Minute College Football Podcast next week. I'm Brett Gibbons. That is Barry Lewis. And we will catch you all next time.